And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
You are listening to Bill Frank, and this is Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is health and wealth. Each of my guests is offering advice on lifestyle changes that lead to a healthier or wealthier life. My next guest is also a well-known actor, best known for his role as Trapper John in MASH. Thinking of him as just another actor, however, is selling short his incredible business acumen, which he writes about in his latest book, Make Your Own Rules. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805, 639-0008. Wayne Rogers was one of the original characters in the TV series MASH. He also starred in House Calls with Lynn Redgrave and later Sharon Gless of Cagney and Lacey fame. Today, Wayne is a regular panelist on Fox News stock investment television program titled Cashing In. You might think that that's an unusual leap on several levels, but it's not by accident. Wayne has built a highly successful and lucrative second career as an investor, investment strategist, advisor, and money manager. Wayne was born in Birmingham, Alabama. He's the son of a Rhodes Scholar, and the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Wayne graduated from Princeton University with a history degree way back, well, we won't say way back when, but is some time ago. He was also a member of the Princeton Triangle Club. Welcome to the show, Wayne. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Billy. Appreciate it. I'm doing great.
Well, I am glad to have you on the show.
I just wanted to let you know I'm in control of my body, too, but I'm not in control of my mind.
Well, good to know that you're in control of your body after all this time. So let's jump right into it, because you're known as one of those rare people who's able to do a lot of things well at the same time. And you've been involved in business for over 40 years, which means that you were involved in business at the same time you were playing Trapper John on MASH.
Correct.
So how did you get started in business? And here's the real question behind the question, because MASH was a thinly veiled protest against the Vietnam War. It had its liberal bent. There's no doubt about it. Actors in general are considered to be more liberal than business people. So it seems incongruous to me that you left acting to go into business. So tell me about that.
Well, two things. First of all, I didn't leave acting to go into business.
Good point.
Secondly, I've always been in it. And they are part and parcel of the same thing. The creative process, if you're a writer, a painter, a musician, exists also in the business world. If you're an entrepreneur, you're a creative person. You must think out of the box. You can't think in the ordinary ways. Now, big business, that is not necessarily true, because in that process, it's more administrative. And I use those as a juxtaposition, administrative against creative. The creative process is very much alive in the entrepreneurial business world, and people who don't know that don't understand it.
Well, that's a good point. Wayne, I want to ask you then, you talk about how business is in many ways similar to acting because of the creativity. What ways do you get a rush from acting? Is it similar or different from the rush that you get from being in business?
Well, for me, it's not, because I employ the same things. In other words, you've got to use your mind first, and that's true about acting. You've got to, read the material and understand the material and be able to understand historically, if you're playing that kind of a character, what that means. So using your mind is absolutely mandatory. Secondly, in business, if you're doing things physically all the time, too, and as a small businessman. A small businessman cannot concentrate on doing one thing. In other words, I can't be the member of the human resources department or the tax department or the manufacturing department or whatever it is. You've got, as a small businessman, to do all of those things yourself. So you're always on top of that. You always have got to be inquiring and asking questions and trying to figure out those things. And so all of this is at a very high pitch. It's the same thing as being on the stage. You've got to be on the case all the time.
Well, I've never thought of it that way, but it really is true. Talking about multitasking, if you're an entrepreneur, you really have to balance a lot of different things. And without a doubt, just from that answer, Wayne, you can tell that you are a staunch champion of entrepreneurialism, and you applaud small business person in general. So why are you an advocate for small business, and why are you such a firm believer in the free market economy?
Well, because that's the basis of Western civilization. I mean, if you just look around the world and see those societies that have collapsed or did not emerge, it's because they didn't have any economy. They didn't have any way for a person to get ahead in the world. In other words, in a communist society, a structured economy from the top down, if you will, like Russia, it didn't work. we have enough history to know that it doesn't work. So as a consequence, you know that the free market system works. It's worked since time immemorial. When we were little proto-men, Homo sapiens just emerging, as it were, 400 million years ago from the past, we cooperated with each other. If we went out to hunt the mastodon and to hunt, we cooperated. People had to know, I had to know that you were going to do your job. You had to know I was going to do my job. So when we surrounded the mastodon, that when we killed the mastodon, we all had to depend on each other. In addition to which, when we got through, we had to carve up the meat in an equitable fashion. It required reciprocal cooperation. And that became the basis for trade in the world. When I would send you something in a primitive world all the way over to some other place, and you sent me back something in return, that required the word trust. And out of that word trust comes the whole basis for Western civilization. And that's why you have to have a free market economy. And if you don't, you will not have a civilization.
All right. We're talking to Wayne Rogers. Wayne, I love your enthusiasm about this. Let me just take it one step further with you, because a lot of people in the general society today take the populist view that greed is what caused the financial collapse of 2007-2009, and it was greed and the free market system that caused that collapse. What would you say to a comment like that?
I would say they're morons. They better go read history. No, it didn't have anything to do with greed. It had to do, and I hear this all the time about it was a lack of the regulatory authorities. It wasn't that. It was a very simple thing. We had a crash in 1929. We had a series of hearings after that. We fixed it with something called the Glass-Steagall Act, and this applied purely to the banking system. Now, we're only talking about banking. We're not talking about the rest of the economy.
Right.
The banks at that time were like they are today. But we decided that that was not good, that a commercial bank, that is a bank that makes loans and takes deposits, I call that a commercial bank, should be separated from an investment bank, that is a bank that underwrote securities, sold stocks and bonds and derivatives. Those two things were separated from 1933 till 1999. The Congress, in its infinite stupidity, decided to abandon that. And they went to, so it allowed the two banks, the two banking systems to get together. As a result, we had the collapse. That's what caused the collapse, not the abuse of the system, not the lack of regulatory authority. It was the Congress who never read history, who didn't understand. If you had not done that, this would not have happened. And by the way, the 2,200-page quote, Financial Reform Act doesn't fix that, doesn't address it. It makes more regulation. Oh, we've got to have more regulation. It's idiotic. The people in the Congress do not read. They do not know what they are doing.
Well, those who do not read history are doomed to repeat it, and that sounds to me like exactly what you're saying. Now, Wayne, you've been on record.
George Santayana, the philosopher, and I quote him in my book.
Yes, you do. I'm not original in that. I'm just reading it straight from your book,
I'm a great believer in that. You must read history.
Your book, Make Your Own Rules and Renegade Guide to Unconventional Success. You were, just to close that thought about banking, you testified on Capitol Hill against banking deregulation back in 99 when it happened. You cited the Ferdinand Pecora and his committee, which is the committee that you just referred to after the great crash of 1929, and you warned about too big to fail. And are we still in a situation where we've got banking institutions and financial institutions that are too big to fail, Wayne?
Billy, it's terrible. And by the way, I'm not the brightest light in the chapel, but if I could predict this myself in 1988 and in 1991, I testified again before the Congress. I begged them not to do this. If I can do that, we ought to know historically that it doesn't work. Yes, it's a big problem. We have four banks today in the United States that control over 54% of the banking assets in this country. That's outrageous. We threw away the antitrust laws. It shouldn't happen. They're not only too big to fail, they're too big to exist. We should break them up. We have 10,400 community banks in the United States. They work. Those are the ones who support small business. This competition for that, that's why it works. But you can't have four major banks like that controlling all those assets, because there's only one person that can bail them out, the taxpayers, the U.S. government. You have a conspiracy now with big government, big business and big labor.
All right, Wayne, I'm hearing what you're saying, and I understand exactly what you say, and your facts and figures, you're spot on with that. But it's sounding to me of shades of 1984 with AT&T, and AT&T is just too big to control all of the telecommunications. It's interesting. We had federal government step in, break them up, and here we are just a few years later, and we're back to essentially two major players. You've got Verizon, you've got AT&T. So, yes, there was competition for a period of time. There was a lot of confusion, but ultimately these things melded back together so that you have today's current AT&T, you have today's current Verizon, which was an offshoot of AT&T. And are we any better off because of that?
I blame the Congress. I blame the federal government. They did tell you they broke them up at one time, and they allowed them to recongeal. Yes. And it's outrageous that this happens. We've thrown away the antitrust laws in the last 50 years in this country. We cannot have it. We're headed towards a fascist type of economy. And I don't hate to use that word because it has political overtones. I don't mean it that way. But, I mean, when you have big government, big labor, and big business all in cahoots with each other, the little guy, the entrepreneur, doesn't have a chance.
And that is important, especially it's a central theme for your book, which is Make Your Own Rules. Entrepreneurs really need to know what they're going up against, and they need to know about the regulatory environment that they're in. And another theme is that, you know, you should question everything. And then once you know those things, then it's a time to be creative. So if you don't mind, expand on that a little bit and use some examples from your own career, because you've owned many different types of businesses. How have you gotten in, evaluated a situation, understood the game plan, understood the rules, and then been creative in some of the businesses that you've been in, Wayne?
Well, let me take the last chapter in the book, which is about a wedding dress company here in New York. It was a distress situation. I think I thrive on distress. I think it's because of the challenge, and a challenge is sort of sausage to my grinder. I don't know anything about the wedding dress business. I still don't know a hell of a lot about it, but I knew that this was an undervalued asset. It had a great brand. And it was just a question of revitalizing the brand. Well, how do you do that? You go to the customer. The customer is the guy who's going to tell you the things that you need to know. And you have to be willing to ask all the right questions. I say right questions. Ask all the questions, even ask the wrong ones. Educate yourself as much as you can. Learn every aspect you can about that business, and then begin to implement those things. Now, we're not in the dress business. We're in the service business. We give our customer great service. That's why they come to Kleinfeld. Kleinfeld is a company that was essentially moribund, doing about $6 million a year when we bought it. We'll do over $30 million this year.
Wow.
We have turned this business around by service, by treating the customer as if the customer is special, learning from the customer, and implementing those things. Sure, style is a part of it. Sure, how you make the dress is what you do to them. But what we do better than anybody else is we give the customer great service. And I think that's true in any business. That's what can distinguish you. If you're in a mundane business that everybody else is in, that can make a big difference. And if you do the little things, that adds up. And if you're willing to ask, constantly question yourself and ask questions, not just why, but why not? Why can't we do it this way? Why can't we find a better way? That's what you're always doing.
Well, in the case of Kleinfeld, the numbers speak for themselves. Going from $5 million to $30 million is very impressive over a short period of time. We're talking to Wayne Rogers. Wayne, I want to tap into your self-professed, you thrive on distress, you thrive on challenge. That's cool. Turn your talents towards the radio industry, and talk to me about talk radio. What do you see as the biggest challenge there? And if you were taking over a talk radio station, what would you do today?
Billy. That's a terrible question to ask me because I had an experience. I went and I sat in for somebody in talk radio this last year. I had a great time, by the way. I thought it was more fun than anything. And in fact, at one point I got a call from Joe from Washington, and I'm talking to this guy and we're back and forth, yada, yada. Turns out he was my roommate at college.
No way.
I didn't recognize his voice.
How about that?
Is that funny?
That is tremendous.
So I think talk radio has a big future. I would love to do more of it myself. I think it's a wonderful idea. I think it's something that the public, you know, particularly when you're driving around in an automobile, and that's when you have the radio on most of the time now. You certainly can't watch television then. So you've got the radio on. And it's a terrific thing, I think. I think it can be educational. I think it can be all of those things. And I know that there's a number of music stations out there. I'm aware of that. But talk radio, I think, has a big future, and I think it should continue.
Well, Wayne, you're always welcome as a guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're talking to Wayne Rogers, author of the book Make Your Own Rules, A Renegade Guide to Unconventional Success. And, Wayne, people who read your book, what do you want readers to take away from reading Make Your Own Rules?
Well, I think if anything, as I say, I'm not trying to tell people how to run their business. I'm saying that these are my experiences, and if you can take something from those, and what I take most of all is be creative, think out of the box, and never give up.
And those are great lessons, whether you're in business or in life. I mean, those are life lessons right there. We've been talking to Wayne Rogers, everybody, author of the book, Make Your Own Rules, A Renegade Guide to Unconventional Success. Wayne, it's been a delight. I can't believe how quickly the time has gone. You're always welcome back here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Billy. I appreciate it very much.
Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.